Got to find it here. There. 1, 2, 3.
All right. John chapter 6. Helps you put it on, right? All right. There. Now we got it. John chapter 6. Starting at verse 60. It says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a very hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciple murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you, that no man can come unto me except it be given unto him by my Father. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. We thank you for your love. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct everything that's said and done here this morning. That'll be for your honor and glory. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. I pray now that you'll help us and guide us. Help us that we can get something out of this message that we can use in our own lives. Father, we just thank you so much for this church. Thank you for the people who come so faithfully. I want to be a help to them today. I just pray that you'd speak to their hearts through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be preaching today on what I believe is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. The saddest verse in the Bible. You say, well, you're not talking about the death of Christ. So how could it be the saddest verse in the Bible? I believe as a preacher, this has got to be one of the saddest verses ever written in the Bible. And I believe that God wanted this verse there to encourage preachers. And I'm going to show you why this morning. And that verse is John chapter 6, verse 66. It's very easy to remember. 6, 6. John 6, 6, 6. And I want to look at it one more time. It says, from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. The title of this morning's message is, Walked No More With Him. You know, it's hard many times to be a preacher in a church. It's hard to be a pastor of a church. You have people who you love, leave, and return no more. You have people who move away and or pass on to glory land. It's hard to see people come and go out of a church. However, I have learned some very important lessons in the 20 years that I've been pastor of this church. The most important lesson that I've learned is that I did not, nor am I today, building this church. God is. This is not my church. This is God's church. The people who are here today, God called to be here. There was a lot of people that God called to be here today that aren't here. However, you are here because you answered God's call to be here today. As long as I do what God has called me to do, all will work out. God has promised that He would never leave us nor forsake us, and I hold to that promise every day. You know, as I was thinking about this and This was not my message for this morning, by the way. I have another one that I have all outlined, everything in my office, and so you're going to end up getting that one next week. Anyway, unless God changes it again. But this last week, as I was reading in the book of John, I came across this, and I got to thinking about it in depth, about how that we as pastors many times get discouraged because people leave the church. You know, for no reason. It isn't what we did. It's what maybe someone else did. Someone said. Somebody didn't say. I mean, I have had people leave the church, believe it or not, because they didn't like what my wife wears for clothes. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, people just get upset for no reason at all and leave. You know, in the scripture that we read, we see some very important points that I want to look at this morning. You know, I believe that many times there are things that happen that we just can't quite understand. The first thing is this. I believe there was a misunderstanding of something. Look at verse 60. It says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Here we see that the disciples themselves were listening to what Jesus said, and they said, hey, this is a hard saying. Who can hear? Who can understand what you're trying to get across to us? There was a misunderstanding. Jesus had just taught that he was the bread of life and that they needed to come to him to be saved. There were many who thought that he was talking beyond their comprehension. You know, how many of you ever been in a service where the preacher uses words about this big and you can't understand a word he's saying? You know, as I was growing up, I grew up in a Baptist church, and I mean, the preacher preached just like I do. You could understand what he was saying. Well, when I started going with my wife, she was going to another flavor of a church, and we get there, and this guy, I don't know where he came up with what he preached, but I mean, I'm not exaggerating. He had words that even today I cannot pronounce. I mean, it was unbelievable. Everybody just sat there like this. You know, nobody understood a word he said. You know, he was a good orator, but he could not get his point across or anything else. But, you know, here we see that these disciples could not understand what Jesus was trying to tell them about himself and how they had to come to him for eternal life. You know, most of these had been with him for quite a while. You know, many believe that there was a lot of the disciples that were there that day who had been with Jesus for up to 2 or 2.5 years. Many of them had left their jobs. Many of them had left their families. Many of them had left everything that they had to follow Jesus. And now they can't understand what he's saying. There's a misunderstanding. There's a misunderstanding of what he was saying. After all, they thought, well, you mean to tell me we've got to eat your flesh and drink your blood? There was a misunderstanding. It was a misunderstanding of what he was trying to get across to them. You know, so many times this happens. A preacher will take and be preaching something, and someone will get something totally different out of that message. Totally different. I don't know how many times I've been back at the door after a service and someone will come up to me and they'll go, boy, preacher, I needed that message today. And I'll say, well, what part of the message did you need? And they'll tell me. And I'll go, really? I'm going, where'd you get that from? Well, you said it. So I'll go back and I'll listen to the message, and I'm going, I never preached that. But it's something the Holy Spirit wanted them to hear. You know, and sometimes we hear things, or think we hear them, that we really don't hear. You know, that's why I'm so glad for Brother Dana, who he takes and he tapes all of our services and puts them on the website. If you can't make a service, just go to florencebaptistchurch.com, go into the messages, and you can hear any message that I preach. Do you? Good. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, we have an awful lot of people, believe it or not, if I'm not mistaken, the last time I looked, we have about 500 hits a week on our website, and a lot of it people go in and listen to the message and stuff. But, you know, we haven't seen any donations come in yet off of our... No, I'm just kidding. But you know, here we see that there was a misunderstanding. The second thing is this. There was a murmuring. Look at verse 61. It says, when Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend thee? Whoa! There was a murmuring. They were talking about amongst themselves. The disciples were talking behind the Lord's back. More than likely, they were saying to each other, who does he think he is, saying that he is the bread of life and we need to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood? If this was the case, he would be the Son of God. Isn't that what he's trying to get across for the last 2.5 years? That I am the Son of God? You know, these disciples, in essence, were gossiping and were questioning the authority of the Lord behind his back. You know, who does this guy think he is trying to tell us things like this? Who does he think he is? You know, Jesus knew that they were murmuring, and he confronted them head on, you know, with this issue. You know, would it not be nice to know what people are saying about you all the time? No, I wouldn't think so either. You know, Jesus showed his deed. Now, just think about this for a minute. Here's all these disciples, and I was doing this message. I like to kind of put myself into the story. You know what I mean? Now, can you imagine, Brother Echoes, you and I, we're sitting here and we're murmuring against the Lord. You know what I mean? We're just talking, you know, just casually, you know. Who does he think he is anyway? Telling us that we got to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Who does he think he is? Yeah, and we're not talking very loud. We're just whispering. And Jesus may have been a little ways away. And he turns around and goes, hey! Now, think about this for just a minute. There was a lot of people there. There was a lot of people talking at the same time. And yet Jesus heard his disciples murmuring. And he says, hey, does this offend you or what? What's the matter with you? Does it offend you what I'm saying? I mean, can you imagine the look on their face? He heard us. Oh, no. We're in trouble now. They keep looking up to see if there's going to be lightning come out of heaven and destroy them. You know what I mean? What we need to realize is this. They were murmuring behind his back, and they didn't think that he had any idea what they were saying. But this shows the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hears all things. He sees all things. He knows our every thought. You know, we need to realize that, and we sing this little song in Sunday school, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father up above and looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, little tongue, little feet, where you go. Listen, why do we sing that? Because the kids need to know, and so do the adults, that Jesus is watching them all the time. He hears everything that we talk about. He sees everything we see. We need to be careful what we do. You know, wouldn't it be nice, though, to know that Jesus listens to what we have to say, especially when we're in trouble? You know, by asking them this question, he showed he was truly God in flesh and knew all things. You know, we need to be so careful what we look at, where we go, who we talk to, what we say, because the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little self, what you do. The third thing is this. He was mentioning of unbelief. Look at verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. You know, Jesus was there and he says, some of you don't believe what I'm saying. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that if it would have been me and I would have been in this crowd and I would have seen all the miracles that Jesus did, how he caused the lame to walk, how he caused the blind to see, how he saw the lepers cleaned, how he raised the dead. If I would have seen that, I think maybe, just maybe, after following him for 2.5 years, seeing all of this happen, I might have believed. Amen? You know, let's face it. Jesus did everything superhuman. After all, remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? The disciples went into town to buy food. They came back. And they said, well, are you going to eat? He goes, no. He said, I've already eaten. They go, what did you eat? You don't have any food. Think of Jesus being out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without food and without water. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't survive a week. I can't even survive a day without eating something. You know, Jesus was fed by God. You know, look at Moses. Think of Moses. He went up on Mount Sinai. How long was he up there? 80. 80 days. 40 days the first time, 40 days the second time. 80 days. He went up the first time, 40 days, 40 nights. What did he take along? He didn't even take a sleeping bag. He took absolutely nothing with him. How did he survive 40 days and 40 nights without being able to eat or drink? God took care of him. God took care of him. God took care of Jesus when he was out in the wilderness. You know, the Bible says when he came back, he was hungry. Satan tempted him, and he overcame him by the word of God. You know, there may have been those that have been following Jesus for a year or maybe two, helping to supply for his needs. And, you know, let's face it, it took a lot to supply the needs of the disciples and the apostles. Okay, you got 12 apostles, but there was hundreds of disciples, hundreds that followed Jesus, hundreds that helped him get into the cities, hundreds that supplied for the needs of him. You know, here we see devoted men who were his disciples. These weren't just common people. These were his disciples who followed him and trusted in what he had to say. And yet, they did not believe him. They did not believe him. You know, it's interesting at this point to look at what Jesus said in the rest of that verse. Jesus said, there are some of you who believe not. You know, Jesus knew there were going to be some who did not agree with what he said. He knew there were going to be those who would not believe who he was. Wow. Look at the rest of that verse. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and should betray him. What was the beginning that he was talking about? Was it the beginning of his ministry here on earth? Or was it the beginning of when the foundation of the worlds were set? Whoa. God knew from the beginning of the worlds who was going to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a little chat about this on Friday night with the kids at Tug. We were talking about the end times and how that God knows everything. God knows everything from the beginning to the end. God knew who was going to betray the Lord Jesus. God knew that he was going to die on the cross. God knew that Paul was going to be an apostle. God knew the persecution that he was going to go through. God knew everything that was going to happen all the way from the foundations of the world. Wow. Jesus knew from the beginning. He knew from the beginning. Now, think about this for just a minute. Here Jesus, for 2.5 years, walking around, preaching, healing, causing people to raise from the dead, feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, doing all these miracles, and he knew from the beginning who wasn't going to believe. Think about that. He knew who was going to betray him. He knew who was going to sell him out for 13 pieces of silver. He knew from the beginning. Man, I'll tell you, if I would have been him, now this is just me, I would have caused fire to come down from heaven and consume him. I would have. But then that's my nature. Amen? And I think you would have too. You know, after all, you know, one time the disciples wanted fire to come out and destroy people anyway, so. But you know, it's interesting to point out and look at what Jesus said. He knew who it was going to be. He knew from the foundations of the world. You know, people have the ability to choose what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe. That's called free will. Each and every one of us sitting in this room today have a free will. The disciples that followed Jesus had a free will. Now, Jesus could have said, "You're all going to take and believe. You're all going to believe that I am the Son of God. You're all going to believe that you have to come to me to have eternal life. You're all going to believe." He could have done that, couldn't he? But he didn't. Why? Because God gave everyone from creation a free will. You say, "What do you mean by that?" Well, let's take a look here. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. In the Garden of Eden, here's two people, right? Adam and Eve. Eve walks up to the tree. And she looks at that tree. And she goes, "Wow, I'm hungry. That looks like pretty good fruit." Did she have to take of that tree? No, she didn't. She did not have to take of that tree. She could have taken of any other tree in the garden. Any tree. But she took of that tree. Why? Because God had given her. If he wouldn't have given her free will and said, "Okay, you're not going to take of that tree no matter what, period, bang." She wouldn't have taken of it. But God gave everybody free will. That's why there are some people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. And there's some people who don't because of our free will. It's just like the disciples. There were some of them that believed and there were some of them that didn't believe. you understand what I'm trying to say? We all have that free will. You know, I would love every time I go up to a door and knock on a door and say, "Hi, are you 100% sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven?" And they look at me and they go, "No." And you go through the plan of salvation and you say, "Wouldn't you like to know for sure?" And they look you right in the eye and they go, "No." Free will. Free will. I have a good friend of mine, very good friend of mine. He's my brother. Anyway, he used to be a Calvinist. He isn't anymore. And him and I, one night, we got into a discussion on eternal security. And we started discussing in depth about 7 o'clock at night. We finished at 4 o'clock the next morning. And I mean, it was a heated discussion. In fact, we were in at a camp in a motel type thing, and the people were coming out all the time to see if we were at blows or not. That's how loud it was. And when we I said to him one of the things I said to him, and he could not come back to me, was this. I said to him, I said, "How many times have you talked to somebody about getting saved and they refuse to get saved?" He said, "Well." I said, "Then you went back again and you talked to them later and they got saved." He said, "Well," he says, "quite a few." I said, "Why is that?" "Because they have a free will." They have a free will. The Calvinists don't believe that we have free wills. You know, there are people in churches today who may sing in the choir, teach Sunday school, may lead a youth group, drive a bus route, or a lot of different things, and never accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Man, that's frightening. That's frightening. But you know, there was a mutiny that happened. There was a mutiny that happened. Look at verse 66. "From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him." There were some very important aspects of this verse, and I feel that we need to take a look at them. Notice the word, "And there were many of his" what? Disciples. These were not just common people. They're not people that just come to church and sit in the pew on Christmas and Easter. They weren't those people. These were people who followed him day after day after day after day after day after day. Listened to his preaching. Saw everything that he did. These were the people who were his inner crowd, so to speak. Not the inner 12, but the inner crowd. His disciples that followed him. These are the ones that he looked to. They went back into the world of sin because they did not want to follow the Lord anymore. When we feel that we do not need to follow or do not do what the Lord wants us to do and go back into the lifestyle that we used to live in, there's going to be trouble. There are many who profess to be followers or Christians. They, in essence, are only looking for some temporary benefits. You know, they may come to the food bank and get food for a while, thinking that this will fulfill their spiritual fulfillment. They may be looking for some type of spiritual excitement. You know, many have the want to go to the churches, I call the Big Bang sound, looking for the entertainment to fulfill their needs. And there are those who will become offended at the message that's preached. They don't want to know the things that they're doing contrary to God's word is sin. There will be those who profess to be Christians, but will turn their back because they really don't know Him. There's going to be many, for some reason, are going to say, I'm not going to go to that church anymore because, and you can fill in the blank. It happens all the time. Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What Jesus is saying in that verse is, hey, you know what? If you're plowing a field, you got your hand on the plow and you're looking right straight ahead. That's how they plowed a field. I know how to plow a field. I can remember my dad teaching me very, very sternly how to plow a field. I got into a tractor. I got on the tractor one day. He says, Now, you see that post at the other end of the field? Don't take your eye off of it. You look at that post, and you just keep looking right at that post. Don't take your eye off that post. I'm going down the field. I'm thinking, hey, I'm doing pretty good. All of a sudden, I thought, which post was it? Which post is it? And I'm going, well, it's got to be that post. No, it ain't that post. Well, when I got all done, you can look at those furrows, and they're going like this. My dad came up, and he goes, What did you do? I said, I couldn't remember which post it was. He says, Yeah, you took your eye off the post, didn't you? Listen, the same way with the disciples. The disciples took their eye off the post. They took their eye off the post and went back to doing what they used to do. There was mutiny. They were murmuring. They left. The disciples, even though they had walked with Jesus, talked with Him, saw everything that He did, they still did not believe and they walked with Him no more. Man. You know, I believe it hurt Jesus when they walked away. I really do. And the reason I believe that, here He has all these disciples, and they're going, We're not going to take and listen to Him anymore. We're going to be out of here. Boom. And they take a bunch of other people with them. Isn't that the way it happens when people leave the church? They don't go alone. They want to take as many as they possibly can with them. What did Jesus do? And I can see this happening because, believe it or not, I've wanted to do it myself when people leave the church. He looked at the 12 and He said, What? Will ye go away also? You're going to leave too? You're going to just abandon the ship? Man. You're going to continue to follow me, or are you going to take and be shallow that they are and walk away? You know, when someone leaves who's been with you for a long time, it hurts. I was talking to a pastor this morning. I go to Starbucks every morning for coffee, and it just happens that he's in there at the same time getting coffee the same time I am. So him and I will sit down for just a couple minutes, and we'll talk. And we're talking about this. He always asks me, he says, What are you preaching on today? I say, I'm preaching on the saddest verse in the Bible, John 6:6:6. And he looked it up, and he read it, and he goes, Wow, that is. I said, Yeah, I know. I said, I'm preaching on. He says, You know, he says, Does it hurt you as bad as it does me when people leave the church? I said, Yeah, it does. He says, Why is that? Why is it we hurt so bad I said, because we pour our heart and soul into the people. We love them unconditionally, the way we're supposed to love them. I said, and when Jesus had this happen to him, look what he says in verse 67. Look what he says to the disciples. He says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also, what? Go away? Wow. Will you also leave? Man. I said to this preacher, I said, that's what happens. I said, I believe Jesus is really hurt, and I believe it really hurt him to see all these people leave, even though he knew they didn't believe. I believe it hurt him because he loved them. Over the last 20 years, we've had people come and we've had people go for one reason or another out of this church. And believe me, it hurts this pastor. But you know, there's also mastery. Look at verses 67 and 68. It says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Whoa! Peter and the 12 other ones said, you know what? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to search? We're looking for the Messiah. You're Him. Where else? Where else are we going to find Him? Peter gave a good description of what they felt and who Jesus really was. Peter said, who shall we go after? After all, we believe that you are the Son of the living God. Where are we going to go? Should we go back fishing? Should we go back to our old occupations? Where should we go? That's the way it is with many pastors and missionaries. Many have left homes, families, occupations to go and do what God has called them to do, knowing that there's going to be disappointment along the way. Brother Echoes, how long were you in the ministry? Since 1970. Did you ever have any disappointments? Huh? Did you? You had disappointments? You mean it was all not sunshine and roses? Mrs. Echoes, you never had any problems, did you, as the pastor's wife? Huh? Everybody just loved you to death, right? They knew, just as Jesus did, that there are going to be those who are going to come and they're going to go. I have a saying, it goes like this. This church is a train, and we're going down the tracks. I'm the conductor. It's my job to keep this train on the tracks and going in the direction that God wants us to go. There are going to be people who get on the train and there's going to be people who get off the train. I can't help that. But my job is to continue keeping this train going down the tracks in the direction God wants us to go. But there is also marveling. Look at chapter 7 and verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Whoa. You know, I think this is one of the most important parts of this whole sermon. In the previous 13 verses, if you have time, read them. We don't have time this morning to do that. But you're going to see the Feast of the Tabernacles. All the Jews would be at this feast. Jesus knew that there would be Jews that wanted to kill him because they did not believe in him. Jesus sent the apostles up to the feast, and he stayed behind in Galilee. Jesus went up to the feast alone, not wanting anyone to know that he was there for fear of his life. There may have been some of those previous disciples who left and followed him no more, that were there looking for him and wanted to cause him hurt. Jesus went into the temple and taught. He did not quit just because some of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. He had a calling to fulfill, and he knew that no matter how bad he felt, no matter how bad the disappointments, he had to continue to do what he was sent to do. In our society that we live in, it seems like when the going gets tough, preachers quit. Preachers quit. They don't want to face the hardship or the disappointments. They hang their heads and they go back and don't finish the job that God has called them to do. I think of a missionary couple by the name of the Radcliffes, Buffy and can't remember his name. They were going to the mission field down in Mexico. They had a little baby girl. In fact, their track is out in the track rack, Adrian, that died. They weren't even on the mission field yet. God had called them to the mission field. They had come here soon after the funeral, and they presented their work as they're going to Mexico. We've supported them for years. And I went and I said to him, I said, "What's the hardest thing right now to do?" He says, "Keep going." The hardest thing is to keep going. He says, "I want to quit." He says, "I don't know why God took our little girl. I don't know why." He said, "I want to quit." I just received their prayer letter in the mail the other day. He preached 4 revivals in the last month in different places in Mexico. Each revival, they saw over 3,000 people accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. 3,000 at each one. That's 12,000 people in 4 weeks. I emailed him and I said, "Was it worth it all?" He emailed me back. He says, "Brother Storm," he says, "it's been worth it all. It's been worth it all." He didn't quit. He didn't hang up his hat and say, "Oh, things are just so tough. People are leaving. We lost our baby. I'm not going to take and do what God's called me to do." Listen, we need to just keep going down them tracks. Clickety, 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 clickety. You know, the people marveled at his teaching. He expanded on the Word of God like no one else had ever done. I can see him opening up the book of Isaiah and going through the book of Isaiah and explaining each verse and why it was written that way. Wow, wouldn't it be nice to have someone that just expound on the Word of God right from God Himself? You know, each of us in this room have been called to Florence Baptist Church to help further the work here. There's going to be some who are going to leave. There'll be some that stay. There are some who may not like the preaching that I preach. And they're going to go back and walk no more. There'll be some who may have different doctrines. And they'll go back and they'll walk in the doctrines that they want to walk in. In any case, it doesn't matter how much disappointment, how much disappointment comes to this church. How much heartache that I have when people leave. God has called me to keep this train on the tracks and keep going in the direction that He has us pointed, no matter what. In the 20 years we've been here, we've seen some heartaches and we've seen some joyous times. And we're going to see some more joyous times down the road. We have trials and tribulations over the last 20 years, but yet we've kept our heads down. We went forward and kept this train on the tracks. And you know what? We're going to continue to do that. I know I'm going to do it, but it's up to you. Are you going to leave and not follow no more? Are you going to walk no more with Him? It's easy to walk in the world. It's easy to do the things of the world. But you know what? It's hard sometimes to stay in that narrow road that leads to heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for today. We thank You for Your love. I just pray now that You'll help us to realize that we need to do all we can for Your honor and Your glory. Help us that we will continue to keep going forward, that we just continue to keep our head down and stay on the tracks the way You'd have us to go. Father, it's easy to just throw up our hands and say, I quit. But help us, I pray, that we just continue to do what You have told us we need to do. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I've been thinking of maybe leaving the church, maybe going somewhere else, maybe doing something else. But God spoke to me today that I need to stay where I am, doing what I'm doing. Would you pray for me that I continue to do that? Is anyone like that at all? Just raise your hand quickly, quietly. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Father, You've seen the hands. You know the hearts. And I just pray now that You would be with those. And Father, help them. Help them to know where You would have them to be for Your honor and Your glory. We love You. We thank You for all that You've done for us. I just pray now that You'll continue to be with us, guide us and direct us in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet and turn to our hymnal number 153. 100.